Will you join me in prayer? Father, we humbly enter your presence. We're so grateful that our lives are not being lived as orphans, but that we are dearly loved sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for this season of preparation, this Advent season, when we prepare to celebrate the coming of Christ into our world, when we prepare our lives, our hearts, and our minds to worship you, to experience you in fresh ways. Make this truly a season of preparation. We do pray for Caleb this morning. We pray that his body would respond to the medication, that he would experience healing, that you'd help him not to be afraid, that you give peace to his mom and dad and siblings and to his grandparents. For his mom and dad especially are exhausted, and we pray that you give them fresh strength this morning. So grateful that we can trust in you and pray to you and ask for help. I'm sure there's people in all of our lives that we want to pray for this morning, so we quiet ourselves and lift up friends and family members who need your encouragement and healing today. That some of us are here this morning is an answer to prayer. We are and live by your grace. We count on your faithfulness and are humbled by your love. And again, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak words of life into our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a defining moment in Mary's life. Would she sacrifice her reputation, her wedding ceremony, her plans for the future, maybe her marriage, and the trust of the people that she loved most? Would she sacrifice all of those things to be part of this new great thing that God was doing? It was a defining moment in Mary's life. It was a defining moment in the history of mankind. God's plan to rescue the world from the ravages of sin was, for the moment, in the hands of a young woman. This is the second week of our Advent series called Heaven and Nature Sing. In Luke's gospel, there are four different songs, and so we're looking at one each week. Last week, we looked at the song of Zechariah. It was the opening movement of what God was doing, the great intervention. Today, we look at the song of Mary. Next week, we consider the song of Simeon, the old man at the temple. And in our final week of Advent, we consider the song of the angels. And as is evident in today's service, music is so much a part of this season, so important a part of our lives. And again, we thank all of our musicians for what they are bringing to today's service. Today we turn our attention to Mary and a day that changed her life and our lives forever. And we have every reason to believe that it was a very unremarkable day when the remarkable happened. What was Mary's day like? I suspect that she had normal chores, that she got up early, walked to the town well to get water for her family, fed the chickens. That doesn't sound very holy, does it? But those chickens need to be fed, and ate breakfast. She may have cleaned some clothes. She probably engaged in conversation with her family. and may have worked a few moments on some linens for her new home with Joseph. That time of betrothal was a time of preparation. There were no wedding registries, right? And so the wedding was a community-wide celebration, a lot to do to get ready for that. And then there was a new household to prepare for. So it was a time of hard work and anticipation. And so I suspect that she had been working hard and was perhaps getting ready to help with the evening meal. And in the middle of Mary's normal rhythm of life, everything changes. She has an encounter with the angel Gabriel, who said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, whenever an angel in the Bible appears to somebody, it's a remarkable experience because the first word out of the angel's mouth is, "Don't be afraid." So they instantly intuit that here is something out of the ordinary, a supernatural being. And the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. Can you imagine how her mind was spinning? You will conceive, you will have a son who will be called the Son of God. The throne of David, reign forever, a kingdom that never ends. That's Messiah talk. Every practicing Jew living in Israel would know. This is Messiah talk. And Mary would know that God had chosen her to give birth to the Messiah. Her head must have been spinning. Her biggest question among many was this: "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." This all seemed impossible to her. There's no way that this could really be happening. Did she think about whether her parents would believe her? Did she wonder how Joseph would take this news? Well, maybe not yet. She knew simply that she'd never been with a man. And the angel answers her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." This is difficult news to receive. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of God will overshadow you. What does that mean? And Mary's womb would become the Holy of Holies as God would be present in her in some mysterious way. Often I wish that I could see what was going on in a given moment of Scripture. And this is one of those moments. And this is how I picture it. See what you think. I picture Mary standing upright, looking at the angel, her mouth firm, she's resolved. And then she bows her head as she speaks these immortal words, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Mary's believing response was to surrender herself to God as his willing servant. In this encounter, we see that Mary experienced God's grace, believed God's word, and put herself in a place where God can use her. And we can learn from each of these responses. Mary becomes really a role model for all of us. There are times in our lives when we can say yes to God, or we can say no to God. When we can take a step of faith, or not. So let's look a little more closely at Mary's experience. First, she experienced the grace of God. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." Grace is the dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless, an inexhaustible supply of grace. And although Mary was selected by God to bear his son, she was still human. And as a result, she needed to be rescued just as we do. Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and do fall short of the glory of God. And there's nothing in Scripture to indicate that Mary was without sin. She needed grace. She, like us, lived in a fallen world, and as a result, she needed a rescuer. I love grace, for God's grace is as real to us today as it was to Mary. God's inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. At Revive, we desire to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace impacting generations to come. Hers is a story of grace, and ours is as well. Mary believed the word of God. Her question, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" is not a question of unbelief. It's a question of faith. She believed the promise, but she wondered how it was going to happen. Gabriel explained that the miracle would be a work of the Holy Spirit. Again, that she would be overshadowed. This is the same way the presence of the Lord is described in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple. For this reason, it could be said that Mary's womb became a Holy of Holies for the Son of God. How do we know that Mary believed the word of God? It's simple, by her response. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Notice in the passage it says, "And then the angel left her," and I thought, I bet she had some more questions. A lot more. She didn't know everything that it would mean, did she? I'm not sure what all of this will mean or how my life will be changed, but I'm in. That was the message, right? That's what she said to the angel. I'm in. Mary believed the word of God. And then Mary could be used by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the will of God. And everything changed for Mary. She was an important part of God's plan to rescue us, as the angels said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." God's plan was to send a rescuer. In the Hebrew Scriptures, there are 60 messianic prophecies, all of which were realized in Jesus. He was God's plan from the beginning of time. So here's our big idea for today. Mary experienced the grace of God and believed the word of God, and therefore was used by the Spirit to accomplish the will of God. And it's all very beautiful, but I just have to take a little time out. Because even though God's plan to rescue us was amazing, world-changing, for Mary, part of it was devastating. Part of this is a really messy story. We don't see it, but if we use our sanctified imagination, we understand that there's some things going on that are not stated directly. First of all, did her mom and dad believe her story about being pregnant by the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. And I put two and two together. Here's how I know. They packed her up quickly before prying eyes and wagging tongues would start. This is a small town, right? We all know how that works. They packed her off to go stay with Elizabeth and Zechariah, who lived far away. So I conclude from that, and I think it's likely true, that they didn't believe her. They probably thought that Joseph was the dad, and she was so ashamed that she made up this story, but I don't think they believed her. And can you imagine her hurt, right? How painful it was that her mom and dad, I mean, Mary had always been a good girl, right? I mean, really good, devout, godly. And then this, there would be no wedding. Can't have a wedding if there's a baby, no public wedding. There would be gossip. There would be disgrace enough for the whole family. It was tough. And then there's Joseph, her betrothed. Did he believe her? We know he didn't, because in Matthew chapter 1, it says that Joseph had decided in his mind to divorce her quietly. Because here's what Joseph knew. He wasn't the dad. And she came up with a story about, in her shame, about an angel of the Lord. Now, how many times in human history has a baby ever been conceived by the Holy Spirit? One out of, and how many people have ever lived? One out of what? 500 million? Nah. One out of, you know what I mean? What are the odds of this? How many times did it happen? So we can't be too hard on Joseph. And so his big question was, if he's not the dad and he knew he wasn't, then who is? So the people that Mary loved the most, her mom and dad and her betrothed husband, didn't believe her. And we know that her story was true. That had to hurt. So they packed her off to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And that's where we pick up the rest of our story for today. That's all context. It's all setting for her song. So she's alone. She's traveling with strangers. She shows up at this house, and she receives the greeting that she's been longing for. Elizabeth opens the door, and through the Holy Spirit, she knows, Elizabeth, her aunt, who has this miracle baby growing inside of her, knows that Mary is carrying the Holy Child, the long-awaited Messiah. And Elizabeth bursts into this expression, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child that you will bear." And for the first time, Elizabeth's baby, we know him as John the Baptist later in life, for the first time, he leapt within her womb. And for the first time, somebody believes Mary's story. Somebody gets it. Can you imagine her relief? I'm safe. These people get it. They know that God is up to something huge. And it's out of that spirit of relief, it's out of that joy that Mary sings what we know as Mary's song. And this is what she said: "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary's joy compelled her to lift her voice in this great declaration of praise. The fullness of the Spirit should lead us to do the same thing. Mary's song contains references from the Old Testament, especially from the Psalms and the Song of Hannah. Mary hid God's word in her heart and turned it into a song. Notice what she talks about. She talks about what God did for Israel. For years and years and years ago, God promised to Abraham that through him and through his family, the whole world would be blessed. And now, through Jesus, it's happening. She talks about what God did for her. God saved her. Not only did he save her, but he chose her to be the mother of the Messiah. And so she's filled with praise. She believed God and yielded to his will, and he performed miracles in her life and used her to bring the Savior to our world. And then what God did for us. Mary included all of God's people who fear him for generations to come. We have all received mercy from God and experienced his help. And she makes sure to mention the humble and the hungry, the common people who were overlooked and had no way to advance in that society. She said that God is turning our world upside down. The weak dethrone the mighty, the humble scatter the proud, the nobodies are lifted up, the hungry are filled, and the rich are sent away poor. The grace of God works contrary to the ways of this world. So as we prepare this morning to respond to what we've heard, we take time every week here in Bayview Chapel, before we talk to our friends, even before we express our praise to God, we take time to respond to what we've heard. And I think the heart of what we've heard today is summed up in Mary's response to God. I am the Lord's servant. Amen. Whatever you have for me, I don't understand the implications or where this path will take me. But amen. Mary experienced the grace of God and believed the word of God, and therefore could be used by the Spirit to accomplish the will of God. You know what my question to you is, right? You could see it coming a mile away. How will you respond to the Spirit of God? When God asks you to do something, to change something, to talk to somebody, some act of obedience, some step of faith. When God says that to you or asks you to do something, what will you say? Will you be like Mary who said, I am the Lord's servant. I'm in. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that, and we'll continue our service. Our Father, we're challenged by Mary's response to you. Thank you for her willingness to give up her plans, her wedding ceremony, maybe her reputation, to risk being misunderstood by those she loved best. The price she paid to be the mother of our Lord Jesus. And yet, because she responded in obedience and with great faith, because she surrendered her life to you, you used her in a way that, well, is unique. And the little one that was growing within her womb grew up and revealed your character to us perfectly, died a sacrificial death to break the power of sin and death, and then rose again victorious. It makes it possible for us to know you in a new and life-changing way. And I pray that when you speak to us, when you ask us to take a step of faith, that we might follow in her footsteps. I am the Lord's servant. May it be with me as you have said. Amen. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.